Welcome to BibleBap.org and the Sermon Archive Ministry of Bible Baptist Church of Monroe, Georgia. For over 45 years, the Bible has been faithfully preached from the pulpit of Bible Baptist Church each week. 1 Corinthians 1:21 reminds us that it is by the preaching of the Word of God that men and women are saved. We trust you will be blessed and encouraged by the preaching ministry of our senior pastor, Greg Butler, the church staff, and guests who fill the pulpit at Bible Baptist Church. Let's open our Bibles now as God's Word is opened and preached to us.
Take your Bible, turn with me please this morning to the book of Psalms, please, the book of Psalms, Psalm number 37, Psalm number 37 and verse number 1, and let's read a portion of this good scripture this morning. Psalm 37 beginning in verse number 1. We're continuing the theme of our year, which is commitment. This morning, looking at the distinctives of commitment. Psalm 37, verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Well, that's as timely as this morning's newspaper. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so," even so it means, "so shalt thou dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this portion of your word. And Lord, I believe that you have something this morning that would meet the need of each of our hearts if we will only listen. Lord, if we will only draw near to you. And I pray this morning that you would anoint me with the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. The distinctives of commitment. Back on January the 14th of this year, our ministry watchword, our ministry theme for the year was announced. We took it from verse number 5 in this text before us, where the scripture says, "Commit thy way to the Lord." And our watchword, our theme for this year, built on that, is the word committed. I went through the concordance, the Strong's Concordance of Bible words there, and I looked. All the places that the word commit are used are various forms, such commit, or committed, or committeth, etc. All those various places are used at least 88 times in Scripture. If the Lord is speaking to us about commitment to him 88 times, evidently the Lord's wanting our attention about this matter. It is no trivial matter when the Lord says that we're to commit our ways unto him. We study the scriptures. We study world history. We find out that there are no victories that are won apart from commitment. We find that there are no true successes in life achieved apart from commitment. There are no mountains climbed apart from commitment. There are no oceans that are crossed without commitment. There are no jobs completed apart from commitment. We find that there's no marriage that thrives apart from commitment. There's no family that prevails apart from commitment. There's no church that goes forward without commitment. There is no individual who matures, who becomes greater and stronger apart from commitment. It is a key word to life. The scripture says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." When we began this series back on January the 14th, we looked at the definition of commitment. The word that's used in the scripture means to deliver for safekeeping. Deliver ourselves to the Lord for safekeeping. It means to surrender to the Lord, to relinquish ourselves to the Lord, to yield ourselves to the Lord, to literally roll ourselves upon the Lord. One of the places we saw it depicted in Scripture was in Acts 27. The Apostle Paul was on his journey toward Rome where he was going to be placed on trial. And remember that the ship that Paul was sailing upon entered into a great storm. And they named storms back then like they name them now. And the name of the storm was Euroclydon. As Euroclydon began to shake that little ship that Paul was sailing aboard with the rest of the crew members and the rest of the passengers there, the ship was apparently going down in the waves. We find out in response to that, the sailors committed that ship to the sea. Among other things, it told us that they lightened the ship of the unnecessary cargo. It's a reminder to us, folks, there are things that we think are important in life that maybe we need to re-examine, because when it comes down to life and death matters, those things are not nearly so important. There are people that are holding on to things this morning. They think, I can't live without this. I can't go without this. And the fact of the matter is, the Lord's saying, throw it overboard. If it keeps you from being totally committed to Christ, throw it overboard. We find out that they took the anchors there. They loosed the anchors. It said anchors were taken up there. The anchors represent the stubbornness in our life, the obstinance in our life. Sometimes we're so hard-headed, God can't get the message through to us. We're so bent on doing it our way. We're like that old Frank Sinatra song, my way. Only problem with that is my way is not the Lord's way, and His way is the best way. His way is the eternal way. His is the blessed way. We find out that they loosed the rudder bands of that ship. Up until that time in the ship, they had tied off the rudder bands. They disallowed the captain of the great ship to steer the ship. But when they got in the storm, they thought, you know something, we better take advantage of the expertise and the knowledge of the captain. And they loosed those rudder bands so that the great captain could begin to steer the ship with a large wheel there, and he could begin to maneuver the ship towards safety there. And it's a reminder to us, the rudder bands need to be put in the, they need to be put away, and the steering of the ship needs to be put in the hands of the great captain, and Christ is the great captain of our salvation. We find out that in this ship, the mainsail was hoisted. When it was hoisted, then it took advantage of the power of the wind, and the sailors ceased to fight the sea and the storm in their own strength. And another power took over. And throughout the Scripture, we find the wind is a type. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. You see it in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. It said the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it's a picture how in our lives, when we commit ourselves to the Lord, we allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill our sails and to move us where He wants us to go. We see all of that. So it's connected with this thing of commitment. The Lord calls us to commitment. The direction of commitment, we find out the Scripture says that we're commit our souls to the Lord. 1 Peter 4:19. Our soul, it literally is our self-conscious life. Our self-conscious life is to be committed to the Lord. Psalm 37:5 tells us we're to commit our way to the Lord. In other words, the path that we choose to walk. Tells us in Proverbs 16:3, we're to commit our works to the Lord. That's our works, our activities, our labors, our occupations, that fills most of our time. Psalm 55 and verse number 22 said we're to commit our burdens to the Lord. We're to cast or to commit our burdens upon the Lord. Those are our responsibilities. Everybody here this morning has responsibilities, some great, some lesser, but all of us have certain responsibilities. And we're to exercise the fulfilling of our responsibilities under the direction and the wisdom, the leading of the Lord. And then in 1 Peter 5:7, we're told that we're to commit our cares to the Lord. Our cares are our troubles. If you don't have any troubles this morning, just wait. They'll eventually catch up with you. Most people here this morning have troubles. Every one of us has something that's troubling us. But the Scripture said we're to commit our troubles unto the Lord. And this morning we're looking at Psalm 37, some of the distinctives that go along with this matter of commitment. You notice, if you read, and I wish we had time this morning to read the entire psalm, but you notice surrounding verse number 5, surrounding this message of commitment there, the Holy Spirit speaks of several attributes. He speaks of several distinctives here that accompany committing oneself to the Lord. Let's look at them quickly this morning. Look at verse number 3. He says here, trust in the Lord and do good. And in the middle of verse number 5, trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. One of the distinctives of a Christian who is genuinely committed to the Lord is that Christian will trust the Lord. The word trust here means will depend upon. It means to act in accord with a firm belief or a firm conviction or a confidence in God's integrity. In other words, whatever God has said in the scripture, God's going to do that. And we can take it to the bank. And therefore, we walk the walk, we talk the walk, we live the life in accordance with what God has said. It's talking about trusting the Lord. It's depending on the Lord's genuineness. It's depending upon the Lord's truthfulness. It's depending upon the Lord's loving care for us as expressed in Scripture. It's talking about relying upon the Lord. God is reliable. When it says trust in the Lord, all of this is encompassed. The one who is committed to the Lord is going to trust the Lord. And God delights in those who trust in him. Do you ever think about how often God encourages us in the scripture to trust him, to rely upon him, to depend upon him, to act in accord with what he has said in his word? In Psalm 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, listen, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee. Psalm 32, verse number 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Psalm 118, verse number 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Isaiah 26, 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And so the Lord asks us to trust him. And he says here, if you are genuinely committed to me, this is one of the distinctives that will characterize your life. You're going to trust the Lord. And the Lord asks us to trust him with every need of our lives. He asks us to trust him about our soul salvation. He asks us to trust him about the supply of our daily need. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. But seek first the kingdom of God. Commit your way to him. Trust him. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9. He asks us to trust him to sustain us with grace. He asks us in Matthew 28 and verse number 2 to trust him for the safekeeping of our lives in perilous times. He said, lo, I am with you always, not in just the good times, but he said, I'm with you even to the end of the world, even the end of the age. And the Lord asks us to trust him with every need of our lives. Those who are committed to the Lord, trust in the Lord. What is it this morning that God has been dealing with you about? And God says, will you trust me with that? Will you trust me about this? Is it a spiritual matter? Is it a family matter? Is it a physical need? Is it a material need? Is it a financial need? Is it a broken relationship? What is it this morning? But God has dealt with your heart, and God said, I want you to commit to trust me about that matter. The old song said, bring it to the Lord and leave it there. The Lord would have us to trust him. But notice quickly in verse number 4 in Psalm 37, he said this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The Lord here says not only for those who trust, those who are committed to him, not only will we trust him, but he said we will delight ourselves in him. I made a note in my Bible, maybe you'd care to do the same, but right beside the word delight, I underlined the word there, and I wrote this. The word delight comes from a Hebrew that means to find pleasure in the Lord. It means to find great satisfaction in the Lord. It literally means to be eager to know Him better. To know Him better so much as to obey His will and obey His word. He says here that along with commitment, we find this characteristic here, this distinctive of delight. We delight in His word. Take your Bible, mark it real quickly here, please. Go with me back to the book of Psalm. Look at Psalm number 1, verse number 2. Or verse number 1 for context will help us. Psalm number 1, verse number 1. Blessed. The word blessed means to be divinely favored. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's how a lot of people that are Christians get on the wrong track right there. They're getting their counsel from the wrong people. Getting the counsel from the ungodly. Blessed is the man, divinely favored is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Look at this, verse 2. But his delight, that's what we're talking about. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He says here, if we've committed ourselves to the Lord, we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord, and we begin delighting ourselves in Him, but delighting ourselves in His Word. Without dispute. And you know me, I love Southern gospel music. I love the music that our choir sings. I even like a little hillbilly music. But the greatest music that probably has ever been produced in the last 1,000 years has been George Frederick Handel's The Messiah. You've probably heard it at Christmas or at Easter. Maybe you've gone to hear a great chorale sing it. Maybe you've heard the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra backing that chorale, so forth there. Certainly you've seen it on television during Christmas or during the Easter season. But Handel's Messiah is the New Testament. It is the story of our Savior. It is literally Scripture put to music. And there's nothing like it. But do you know how Frederick Handel produced the Messiah? Do you know how that came to be? When God began to deal with his heart about taking the message of the Savior and putting it to music, he locked himself in a room for 24 days, only from time to time opening the door to allow a servant to bring him something to eat. He locked himself in a room for 24 days with an open Bible, and he filled his mind and his heart. He filled his thoughts. He was consumed with the Scripture. And he said, "Oh Lord, give me music that is worthy to convey the message of the Scripture to the people." At the end of 24 days, he opened the door and he presented to the world what we call today Handel's Messiah. What did he do? He delighted himself in the Word of God. There's no substitute for that in the life of a Christian. Delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. And that's Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. But go with me back just a few pages, if you would, to Psalm number 40 for just a moment. And Psalm number 40, would you look with me at verse number 8? We're looking at Scripture that has to do with the matter of commitment. And what circles commitment there? Not only trust, but delighting ourselves in the Lord. We delight ourselves in His Word, but notice also Psalm 40, verse 8, if you found your place. I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. We delight not only in God's Word, but we delight ourselves in God's will. Christian, may I ask you this morning, do you find delight in doing the will of God? Is there a peace that comes over you? Is there a joy that comes to your soul when you know you have done the will of God? You've obeyed the will of God. You're walking in the will of the Lord. The Scripture here says that this thing of delighting ourselves is a part of the matter of commitment. And then go with me. We're in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 94. Look back toward the middle of the, past the middle of the Psalm, Psalm number 94, just a moment. Psalm 94, and look at verse number 17. We delight ourselves in the Word of God. We delight ourselves in the will of God. But also we're to delight ourselves in the work and the works of God. In Psalm 94, verse number 17, the psalmist said, "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence." What's the psalmist doing? He's thinking back to the times in his life when God delivered him, when God supplied his need, when God rescued him, when God came to his defense, when God came to his aid. In verse number 18, "When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." Look at verse 19. "In the multitude of my thoughts within me." He's looking back over his life. He's thinking about all those interventions of God in his life. "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." And he said here that part of commitment for him was delighting himself in the works of God. You ever stop and think about what David is doing in 1 Samuel 17? We don't have time to go there this morning. But in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible tells us that after David had defeated Goliath, remember what he did with Goliath's armor? The Bible said David took Goliath's armor back to his own tent, took back to David's tent, and he stored it away. Say, why would he do that? Why didn't he put it in a museum somewhere? I have a suspicion that David thought in his mind, you know, there'll come a day in the future when there'll be another battle to be fought. There'll be another time that I come to battle with one of God's enemies, and I will need to be reminded of what the Lord has done for me before. And he said, I'll walk into my tent, and I'll see old Goliath's armor there. He'll say, he did it that time, he'll do it again. We need to douse ourselves, so to speak, in the works of the Lord. And we need to meditate on what the Lord has done for us there. That's what it's talking about here, delight ourselves in the Lord. Real quickly, Psalm number 37, would you look at verse number 7, please? The psalmist said this, and this is just encircling that thing of committing to the Lord. Verse 7, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And I underlined this in my Bible. I began to study the word rest in the Hebrew. The word rest here literally means to be still. It means to tarry in place, to tarry in the place of shelter. It means to refresh. It also means to hold your peace. Part of the distinctives that encircle one who is committed to the Lord is this matter of resting in the Lord, being still in the Lord, tarrying in the place of shelter with the Lord, allowing the Lord to refresh us in the quiet time, holding our peace in the Lord. One thing that Sister Nail does for our church, and I appreciate this so much, she's done this several years, she buys a subscription to Our Daily Bread, and we put them out here in the foyer, and we invite people to take a copy of Our Daily Bread and use that as a part of your daily quiet time. And I love that publication, Our Daily Bread, and I keep them. I told you last Sunday night, part of the things that Judy has shown me grace in, I don't throw anything away. She may throw something away and not tell me, but she has extended grace to me because I don't throw anything away. And I don't throw away copies of Our Daily Bread. And thus, I went back in my old copies of Our Daily Bread to February 11th of the year 2021. And there, Leslie Coe shared a precious story about resting in the Lord. Leslie Coe told the story. A group of workers were cutting ice out of a frozen lake and then storing it in an ice house. As the workers were cutting out the ice, they're storing it in the ice house, suddenly one of the workers realized he had lost his watch in that windowless storage building. This man and his fellow worker searched for the watch, but searched in vain. After a while, they gave up the search, but there was a young boy who had seen them exit the building, and he thought, I'll see what I can do. The little boy went into the room, and soon he emerged with the man's watch. He was asked how he had found it, and this is what the little boy said. I just sat down and kept quiet, and soon I could hear it ticking. The Bible speaks often about the value of sitting still and resting. And no wonder, because God sometimes speaks to us in a whisper. In the busyness of life, it can be challenging to hear God's voice. But if we'll just stop rushing about and spend quiet time with Him and His Word, that may be the key to our hearing from God what we've longed to hear. The scripture here talks about resting, and the Lord says we can rest in Him for salvation, for security, for the anticipation of sweet heaven. We can rest in Him for sustenance day after day. The Lord says here, those who are committed to the Lord rest in the Lord. Real quickly, Psalm 37, look down to verse number 27, please. 27, we didn't have time to read the entire chapter, but don't miss this in verse number 27. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Departure is a part of commitment. Those who are committed to the Lord. This word departure is the Hebrew word here, swer. The word swer, if you make notes in your Bible there beside verse 27, depart means to decline, to put away, to put down, to turn aside or turn away from, or to withdraw one's self. The one who is committed to the Lord is also characterized by this thing of departure. Departure from evil. It's what it says in Psalm 34 and verse number 14. Depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Psalm 97:10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of His saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Proverbs 4:27, turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Excuse me, what's the scripture saying here? It's saying if our life is committed to the Lord, we depart from the ways of the wicked. We depart from evil. We depart from sin. We depart from that way that is against the will and the work of God, the ways of God. The man, woman, boy, or girl who is committed to the Lord realizes that we don't have to pattern ourselves by the world, but rather God has a good and acceptable and perfect way. Departure from evil. One last one. And this one is most unique. Look at Psalm 37, verse 7, please, the middle of the verse. It told us, initially it said, rest in the Lord. But look at what comes after that. And wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently. The word wait here is the Hebrew word chal. And don't miss this. In verse number 7, the word wait, the Hebrew word chal, means to bear patiently, to tarry even as in pain, to twirl about. Fellas, how many of us have ever, we're driving a nail, that one blow, instead of hitting the head of the nail, we hit our thumb or we hit our finger. And what do? We go, that's the Hebrew word chal. It means bear patiently, even in pain, pain that causes you to twirl. If you're committed to the Lord, what do? You wait on the Lord even when it's painful. Even when it's hurt, and maybe you cannot see at that moment God's design. But I want you to notice something else. Go with me to verse number 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The word wait in verse number 9 is not the same Hebrew word that was used in verse number 7. Keep your finger there if you would. Don't hit it with a hammer, but just keep your finger there. Look at verse number 34. wait on the Lord and keep his way. The word wait in verse 34, again, is not the Hebrew word that's used in verse number 7, but it is the Hebrew word that is used in verse number 9. The word in verses 9 and 11 is the Hebrew word kava. Kava. It literally means to bind together in expectation. If we are committed to the Lord, we wait upon the Lord even in difficult times, even in painful times, but we also wait for him in expectation of what he's going to do. How are we to wait upon the Lord? Psalm 130, verse number 5, we're to wait on the Lord by hoping in his word. The psalmist said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. How are we to wait upon the Lord? We hope in his word. Psalm 40, verse number 1, we wait upon the Lord by crying out to the Lord. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me and heard my cry. How do we wait upon the Lord? We hope in his word. We cry to the Lord. And then we walk in the path of his judgments. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. So the scripture tells us here about commitment. What are the distinctives of the man, the woman, the teenager, the boy, the girl that's committed to the Lord? The scripture says trust. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Depart from evil and to wait upon the Lord. All of these distinctives involve committing to the Lord to give him our best. Thank you.